Hello and welcome to episode 99 of Moogle Garbrand Radio. 99. Who would have thought we'd actually get this far? I want to go with nobody. Nobody thought we'd ever get this far. Well, we just had Mr. Happy on episode 98, which was something. We even always joked in the past that there is no way we'll ever get Mr. Happy on the episode, on an episode ever. Isn't that right, Paul?
Yeah, and somehow you pulled it off. Somehow.
I don't know how. We're probably never going to have him on again. He's probably going to hide and warn
No. I've still got it clipped. I've still got it clipped that he said yes to Nando's.
Yeah, that's true.
At FanFest.
Yeah.
He said yes.
He did say yes to Nando's. In fact, everyone is saying yes to Nando's, so I'm really happy about that. We've had Miss Doso say yes. We've had Mione say yes.
And they're probably like, oh, yeah, you know, they're only joking.
Oh, we'll
you
want
to fucking bet. You want to fucking bet we're joking.
I'm booking the entire of London Nando's just so I can do my own fan fest. What did it cost? Everything.
Was it worth it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
McLeod, we've already had Vegan Pete to agree to go to Nando's because they do a vegan option at Nando's.
Mm-hmm.
So RV and Vegan Pete are down for Nando's. But we're not here to talk about Nando's. Please sponsor us, Nando's. But we're here to talk about Final Fantasy. And we've got one of the, I want to say one of the longest content creators that's still out there, who is also runs one of the best websites where you can find any Final Fantasy 14 knowledge. And you can also go check out other reviews and other stuff over on Gamerscape, which is Fusion X. They also do a podcast.
Hey! We do a lot of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. How you doing, mate?
I'm good.
What you been up to? I know...
Working, not working, working some more, thinking I get a break and then getting more work, and occasionally playing some 14.
What have you been up to in-game recently? I know me and Paul have been raiding mostly, to be honest. We've really kind of taken a break from the game with the lull with 5.3 coming up, hopefully soon-ish, maybe. We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, I've been doing this super casual, like 2 hour once a week raid group with some people, and we cleared Ramu on Sunday. So and that's after three weeks of like 2 hour meetup, so not too bad. Other than that, just been slowly leveling up some other classes, working on getting all the class quest stuff done. So next up I need to do a healer, which I'm not looking forward to. So
tip, pick white mage, it's the best one.
Well, you know, I'm gonna do scholar because I can level it up as summoner.
Yeah, fuck you white mage, that's what I thought. Yeah, but, scholar best.
But if you're a white mage, you can be a black mage because that's what white mage is. It's a DPS but heals occasionally.
But scholar.
And I say heals occasionally with I don't heal really. You're lucky that our size is healing.
I figured this way less people will die if I just level it as summoner and then I'll just do the class quest as scholar. Less people will die. I'll get fewer repair bills sent to me. So.
Yeah, true. Oh god, don't tell them about repair bills. Otherwise, my entire raid group will be like, "Give me money, Chili." I'm like, no.
I mean,
look, Paul, didn't I pay for all your food at one point and all your potions? So.
Yeah,
really
then KK McCloud did.
So, and we're both your healers, so it's like healer tax, I guess.
That's because you know that you'll kill me, so you're like, yeah, we'll give him some food and some bots.
Yeah, there you go. You'll be happy there. You'll be happy in the corner. It's fine. But nah, that's great. Congrats on your little raid group, because you're on Aether right now, because you used to be on Primal.
Yeah, I did back in the day, yeah.
I have to be honest, I'm more on my Aether character now than I am my Primal. I miss my Primal character, but... I know a lot more people on Aether than I do Primal.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I moved. I miss my Primal house, but, you know, having more people to play with is more important than having a bigger house for all your crap, so.
That's true. Yeah, I've got a small house on Aether, which is I've turned into my love hotel, which I'm happy I still haven't been banned for yet. So, yet.
I'm so happy I haven't been banned for my name.
Lovable Boobable? So. Look, it's better than... Yeah. Well, Arvi was called to her first Gilgamesh character.
I love that. I really want her to main that character. That's the thing.
No, that would be a bad... I think she would be banned.
Kuzka? Nah. Just say it's Russian.
And McCloud says I left Primal in my medium for Aether and a small...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Took me a while to get that small, but I finally got one.
Yeah, it took me a while. I only got it because I got lucky. We beat we could beat floor 200 on Palisaded, sorry. And I got a nightmare, so I sold it and bought it with that.
Nice.
Then used the rest to fund my raiding groups, just food and pots.
It adds up.
Yeah, it does. It really does. So fast, especially if you're like me and you go into a dungeon and still use it so you can try and keep up with the DPS as a healer because you're a whore like me.
Yeah, I guess. Sounds good to me.
Because yeah. I now use ACT now that I've switched over to PC, but I won't insult other people because that's rude. It's best to use it for your own performance.
I mean, I insult my raid teams, mainly my EU group, but they insult me anyway, so
I get to insult each other. That's different. That's not random people, that's friends.
I mean, I've done it to a random person once, and then they did it back to me, so he was like, yeah, it's cool, and then we left as friends, it was great. Yeah, nice person. Even though they did call me a shitty tank, and then I called them a shitty DPS. But, you know, it adds up in the long run. That's how you can tell your true friends.
So, the Fantasy 11 event is back in Fantasy 14. What did you think of the event? Because I know you played 11 as well, Fusion.
So, I mean, I played this the first time around. I thought it was a nice little nod. Definitely, you know, worth checking out for people that haven't done it yet. I was surprised that they didn't bring the 14 back, the 14 collab into 11 when they flipped the switch on this. But 11 has their anniversary stuff going on right now. So maybe they'll get it later. I don't know.
Wait, did 11 get a 14 collab? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they got some Spriggan stuff, if I recall.
Oh, I think I actually have that, actually, on my character. I played 11 with the free return week, but really I haven't played since... Treasures of Ugin.
So it's been a while then.
I kind of stayed for the mini expansions, and then I lost my account, and I was sad. And then 1.0 came out, and I bought that. And then 1.0 made me sad. So I took a break from Final Fantasy for a little bit until 2.0 came out.
Yeah, I had been logging in for the return home stuff. And then I actually resubbed after this last one. And I've been doing a little bit of stuff. I don't know if I'll keep that sub going or not. But it's nice to kind of get my character up to date a little bit more with some gear. So
nice. And then you've got that incredibly expensive t-shirt. That I want if it wasn't so expensive.
No, you know, I almost caved.
Yeah, I saw it.
two days ago was the last day you could pre-order it, because I think they're made to order, which is probably part of why they're so expensive. Yeah. And I was like, you know, yeah, all right. And I went to go, you know, I went through all the, you know, it ended up coming out to like $70. And I'm like, you know what? No. Like, it's as much as I would love more 11 stuff, that's ridiculous for, you know, it's twice as much as the 11 shirt they came out with, you know, like 4 months ago. Like, I don't know why it's priced so high. It's ridiculous.
You don't even get a free mask with it. I still couldn't believe that promotion where, what was it? Spend $100 and get a free mask.
Yeah, that didn't last long. They cut that pretty quick.
Yeah. You can get it with points now, I think, if I'm rightly, but I don't think that system actually exists in the UK. I think it's that's an American system.
Can you? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw it in someone's member page where they had like the mask there. But again, it doesn't exist in the UK, so I can't test it out myself to find out. Fusion might be able to. He might not find it out soon.
Oh yeah, they are. Yeah, here they are. 30 points.
There we go.
Yeah, they're in there.
I don't know how you get points or how much points are worth, but for 30 points, you can get a mask.
You get points from just, you know, buying stuff.
Nice. Well, 30 doesn't.
It's the 18th anniversary T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what we were talking about.
Whoever doesn't know, stream, that was including me. I'm sitting here literally looking it up. It's this. There we go. Put it in chat.
It's $75, I think, or something like that with shipping,
it's
right?
It's $54.99. I don't know about the shipping. I can't see it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I had no clue what the hell you guys were on about. I'm like, T-shirt?
Well, and the worst part too, like if you look at it, like the front has like this little 18th with like a little chocobo, but then you look at like the game and their forums and the website, their 18th anniversary logo is a carbuncle, and then if you play the anniversary event in game, it's all surrounding like Mandragoras. So like, what the hell? Like, pick one. Like, It's not consistent at all. It drives me nuts looking at it.
Okay, so you get 25 member points for buying this t-shirt. So that means 30 would be what? About $80? So for $80 you can get a mask, which is pretty much the same price they were charging.
It's in their price stuff is just so ridiculous. I mean, I can remember, I think I actually wrote something on the site years ago. One of the member like rewards or whatever was a cardboard sleeve for one of the 14 soundtracks. Okay. And you would have needed to have spent like an asinine amount of money to get this. Meanwhile, if you just import it from Japan or live in Japan, you would get it free. So it's just, it's ridiculous the way that they
okay,
handle
their... I want this t-shirt. I'm going to have to see if this is on Square Enix Store Europe because I want to buy this t-shirt. I just found what I want. I want it badly.
Which one? Is it pre-order or is it normal?
Meat Myth Kebab.
Oh, yeah. That one. Yeah. So they came out with that around PAX East. And that's that's a reasonably priced shirt. Yeah. I don't know. I can't help but wonder if maybe they ordered like a bunch of those and then didn't sell as many as they thought. And so now they're ordering less of this other one. And that's why the cost is up.
Yeah, you even get 20 member points for this. So you get about the same amount of member points for this as the other t-shirt. I don't even understand the pricing structure then for points.
Well, I'm not even on about that. Like, you only get up to a double XL. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that wouldn't even fit my leg. I'm a 4XL. Like, yeah. I'm outright. Like, I am a 4XL. I'm a big
guy. Yeah, but you got to remember though, this is American double XL, so
yeah, that still won't fit me. I've ordered from Americans and they still don't fit me.
It's not Japanese double XL, which yeah.
Like Jesus, trust me, you know, I had to get a Primark for most of my stuff with Giacomo because obviously I'm a big man. So that's where I get my lovely bottoms from.
I don't know if America has Giacomo, but it's like a biggish size store, you know, for big people.
You know, because the rest of the consumers are sizes pigs and, you know.
I mean, the benefit is at least if you go to an event and you do like the Primal Challenge or something, they usually have bigger shirts for that. But their store usually not very well. I'm also looking at this right now, like almost everything is 30 points.
Yeah.
Like, is there like, that's, I don't know. A lot of that stuff seems like very like not horrible from like, as it used to be crazy for some of this stuff.
But I don't get I don't get the points though. I know this is completely off topic. Still Final Fantasy in a way, but the point system is really weird, Square Enix. Please fix it.
I mean, you get a backpack, a scar, a lanyard.
Also, the t-shirt doesn't seem to be sold in the UK.
Hey, wait a minute. That is a Rise of the Tomb Raider steelbook. Okay, I need to buy something.
So that's, keep in mind, that's probably just the steelbook. Lot of the stuff on their page is actually just like random stuff that was included in collector's editions.
Hey, I'm happy with that. I don't have many collector's editions. Definitely not of Tomb Raider. I played all the Tomb Raider games. I love Tomb Raider.
They also have like, instead of a face mask, you can spend your 30 points and get the Marauder class sticker patch that they had at FanFest back in like, what, 2016? Like, those might have been 2014. Yeah, those are the first FanFest.
Because I was in 2016 and I didn't even see them.
Yeah, so. I have a handful of those from, that was 2014. That was the very first
2014 FanFest. Was the FanFest that killed me. I was so exhausted because...
I mean, you sound pretty good for a dead guy.
Why do you think I podcast? I'm actually just words that I've edited over the years and put, like, in a filter that makes it bots. I'm just a fancy audio bot, really.
I love steelbooks. Steelbooks are awesome.
But
I love steelbooks, yeah.
The first FanFest I went to, which was London FanFest, it was only one day for the UK FanFest.
That's right, yeah.
I decided to go there and come back same day.
Ooh, that is a day.
Did that go up for you usually?
Now, normally, the travel to London is about 4 hours, right? So it was 4 hours there, 4 hours back. Oof. Okay. But a couple of days before I was supposed to go down there, all the train station closed. So it ended up being 6 hours because I had to take a bus from one place to the other and then get a train.
Ah, oh, jeez.
So I left at 4 a.m. I got back at midnight, but I did the entire event and came back. I'm never doing that again. I mean, I've never done London FanFest again, but that's because it's always been in Europe.
You've never been here again.
Yeah.
Oh, I think this cycle it was going back to London, right?
Yep.
So
yep, it is.
And then Hellbreakers.
Assuming they still have it, I don't.
Talking about FanFest, it looks like that. Well, it's been announced that the North American FanFest has been cancelled, which is good.
Shocking,
right?
No one.
I'm shocked, I tell you. Shocked. Okay, not that shocked.
We knew this was coming like a mile away. Like, there was no way it was still going to happen.
Stream is joined the host from Mione. Also, thank you, Mushroom Order, for the host.
But yeah, I was looking. By the way, I always look forward to seeing you again at FanFest Fusion because it's nice to catch up with people. But
I mean, that's the thing. It's such a great time to be able to catch up. I mean, there's a lot of people I talk to online. That's like our thing, you know. And you know, especially this year, like me and the wife, we were gonna go to Disney because it's only, you know, like a 4-hour train ride or something. They were gonna be opening like the new Avengers stuff like next month, and all that's out the window. They're still saying that. Japan and Europe might happen.
Maybe. I want to say Europe, maybe, because Europe is February.
Maybe.
And I don't think they actually gave a date in February, did they?
Yeah, no, they gave dates for all of them.
Did they? I can't remember.
Europe may have been, London may have been TBA. Let me see here. I know I posted something about this fairly recently. Yeah, February 20th and 21st.
Okay, so at the end of February.
It's still a little ways away, but yeah. I don't know if it's far away enough.
Yeah, I can see the Japanese FanFest being cancelled, or limited, very limited, just because of the fact that they don't have to fly out. So there's that. It's all in country, so there's but it's probably going to be a smaller event because of it.
Yeah, I think at this point, really, the big thing holding them back from just cancelling everything is probably just like deposits on venues. They're probably waiting to, you know, be able to get out of them. But like, I think at this point they should just scrap all of them and just do, you know, just do some extra live letters or something to accommodate for it. And I think that's probably the best way to do it that way. Cause could you imagine like NA doesn't get a fan fest and then like Japan and London do. And then like, I don't know, maybe in like May NA gets a fan fest. Like that's weird. That's not balanced, right? Just give everybody a digital event and just, you know, leave it at that. I think that would be the easier approach and the more fair approach, you know, when people take it at a glance.
To be fair, America really should have their FanFest last at one point, just because the always being first
I would
has less
love content. That. I would love an actual job reveal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always for us. It's always been like, hey, look at my t-shirt. And then last time around, it was like, hey, Blue Mage, but it's like not a full job. And I'm like, like give us like an actual non-limited job release at NA. That would be great. But we do get that base reveal, right? So like, that's not nothing either. So
it's still, last maybe it's a bit too long, but I would love for it to be like Japan, North America, Europe, 1 year.
Hmm.
But of course, they're not going to have Japanese FanFest first because it'll be less content. So it'll probably be European, Japan, North America, or North America.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. I mean, you know, you got to look at what they are going to have, right? I mean, you look at last time around, and it was like, okay, we got the reveal in NA with the Blue Mage mention. And then we had, I think it was Paris was second. Yeah.
I think so.
And we got Vieira at Paris. And then they were terrible with their messaging. And then at Japan, we got Hrothgar. And oh, by the way, we're going to the first. That's where all the stuff takes place that we've been showing you over the last 6 months. So, and I think that it's weird because there's something to be said too about having it like on your home turf, right? But, we also get, you know, Koji on the live stream doing, you know, translation work and stuff like that. So I don't know if it really makes that much of a difference with, you know, native language and amount of information, but yeah.
I'm still calling it that there's only going to be two more FanFests, probably.
You think so? Only two more?
I think there's just going to be one more. After this one?
I feel like we've only got two, maybe, expansions left in the...
So four more years in the tank. Like 10-year anniversary is where you think. Yeah. Okay.
Because I feel like next expansion is probably going to wrap up most of the Galleon storyline. we know that we're wrapping up the Heidelin storyline in in Shadowbringers. So,
so you're basing it on existing story arcs.
Yeah, because I don't know if they're going to start a major new expansion. They'll come up
with more stuff. We asked Yoshida this at E3 2 years ago. You know, it's like, what's going to happen once we finish this? She's like, you know, you can always do more. So, yeah, I mean, obviously we want this stuff to wrap up, right? I mean, we've been dealing with this stuff forever. It's like, get on with it. But yeah, at some point they're going to introduce some new stuff. You know, we might even start to see bits and pieces of that, you know, towards the end of this expansion, even. Like, who knows?
I still want my idea of us having a major, like, anime-style battle between us and Xenos at the end of this expansion. I have my theories on how that will work. Major spoilers for the story, but I'll carry on.
I said I liked Xenos before, like, the weird mind-body split thing. Like, I really liked him as a villain just because, like, he defeated you, like, several times throughout the Stormblood scenario. And then all of a sudden, at the end, when he, like, merges with Shinryu, then, when he's even more powerful, are we able to beat him? And then he kills himself, but then he comes back, and it's like, people are like, oh yeah, now, like, Xenos is gonna, like, be, like, Zodiac. And I'm like, no. Like, just get rid of Xenos.
I feel like, okay, we heard about the heart of Zodiac and the heart of,
Heidelin
in the last patch. Okay, this is going to be a crazy theory, but I have a weird feeling that Xenos is going to try and be the heart of Zodiac. He's going to try and attack us, blah, blah, blah. We're going to become the heart of Heidelin. It's going to be anime-style big explosion fight, blah, blah, blah. Then we'll find out that, you know, because he absorbed Zodiac, it wasn't his own doing, and blah, 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 blah.
That's the thing. Xenos isn't going to absorb anything. Like, it's Zodiac we're talking about. Zodiac, like, he's gonna be like, yeah, check this out, and then Zodiac's just gonna, like, wipe the floor with Xenos. And it's just like, that's the thing at this point. Like, there's, like, when we're looking ahead, like, you know, in Stormblood, it's like, okay, we're fighting Xenos throughout, and then you get to Shinryu, and it's like, all right, they needed, like, a boss moment, but now we know that villain that we're heading for, right?
Yeah.
Xenos is nothing compared to that. So, like, why are we still bothering with this guy? It feels weird to me.
Unless he becomes part of Zodiac somehow.
Oh, but that's just, that seems unnecessary. Zodiac doesn't need Xenos for anything. He's Zodiac. Like, come on.
You know what?
Maybe Xenos he needs a host.
No, no, no. Xenos is going to become our friend. He's going to literally become our, he's going to find the way that we're so strong now. Out of pure friendship, and he's going, like, yeah, you know, I'm going to take that. Or he's going to help us fight Zodiac because he wants to kill us. That's the more plausible answer. It's like, you know what? I don't want anything else to kill you. I want to kill you.
Xenos is going to become Vegeta.
I want to be optimistic. Like, Shadowbringers was off to a really strong start, and I think they could follow through, but at the same time, I'm a little worried. But we'll see.
They kind of lost that momentum because obviously with the delays and stuff, they couldn't get stuff out to keep the fire burning, and obviously it was a good reason to delay it because, you know,
I think, you know, even with this delay, I mean, it's no worse than, you know, pre-expansion dip in content. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's that same kind of feeling. It's just, you know, with a story, it's, we had 5.0 was amazing. And then you get 5.1 and you're kind of like, all right. And then 5.2, it's like, hey, we'll finally do a little bit more of stuff with, like, Tempest, and we'll go and check out Amarad a little bit more. Like, that was really cool. And now we're just kind of waiting and hoping that Boja stuff goes well and just kind of seeing where, you know, where story goes, because this is where we start to, you know, typically we get that little taste of what we're going to be seeing, you know, in the future. So,
well, Redick isn't dropping on 5.3, so it's going to be later on than 5.3. It's like 5.35, if I'm rightly.
Yeah, yeah. Relics are always the 0.5 patch. Yeah. So, but, you know, I mean, it's part of that. Once they get the, you know, the patch out the door, it's only a matter of time before that shows up. So.
Yeah, at least, you know, at least we can't be like, you know, I'm going to say it, wow, and delay a whole expansion. You know, we still got good stuff going. It was just a patch.
Well, I think the expansion is going to get delayed.
No. Everything is offset now.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to magically just produce this stuff on the same schedule. I mean, and that's probably a sliver of the reason NA Fan Fest was canceled. They're like, what are they going to have done in November?
Absolutely.
To be able to show us. The trailer may not be done. No. You know, the area stuff might not be done. It's not just the patch that got offset by a month or two. It's the entire development.
Yeah.
But you know what's really good? Because they've done it every time. We're always sitting here like, okay, it's that time of the month. Come on, what are they going to give us? Now that cycle's broken, we don't know. It's going to be great.
Break, open the chains.
Yeah, it's broken the chains. And I was like, now we don't know what we're getting. You know, we can't. The pattern is broken.
I'm still calling a live letter on like July 7th, though.
I think early mid July we'll get the live letter, and then by the end of July we'll have the patch. But
imagine if they break the chains on that, where we don't, because it's normally 2 weeks after a live letter that we get the patch. They're like, it's out next week.
It's also usually this past week where we've gotten the live letter as well.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking forward to 5.3 though. I'm hoping that it'll bring me back into the game. I know we're getting the new 24 man raid.
We
got the new one dungeon, remember? Trials. No, I'm still salty about the lack of Palliser Dead in the future, though.
Yeah, it's a little surprising. I'm more surprised, I think, at this point of the the Unreal trial that they're doing. Limited content to me just seems like such a weird thing to spend resources on.
I'm not shocked about the Palliser Dead thing, because I actually found out just before expansion. Yeah, so yay. But I'm still sad about it.
It doesn't take you long to level when it comes to the new dungeons. Yeah. Like, when it was like 60 to 70, I don't know, it was a little bit annoying, but I don't know. Palace, you don't really need it no more, really, honestly, to level. It's because it was always useful, leveling, and then, I don't know, let's see how well we can do as a party and get up to like 400 just to get a mount. I still want that Dodo mount, so I'm going to buy it with Gil, but I'm going to have to actually like farm for Gil, or actually do the Palliser Dead, I don't know, or HHH, what you want to call it these days. It's all right. I would like them to work on PvP a lot more, honestly. Is that just me?
Yes.
I thought I DC'd then because it was just like so quiet. I was like,
you talk about PvP, so
it's like who's gonna be the asshole and say they don't care about PvP? I'll take that the leap there.
A lot of people don't care about PvP.
I would care more if I played on a European server.
That's fair.
It's like PvP, like, I played WoW, and I played a lot of PvP over in WoW, and same with Guild Wars. I fucking loved Guild Wars as PvP. I actually loved Guild Wars in general. Guild Wars was great. Like, you know, I want PvP from like Guild Wars or WoW to try to implement in Final Fantasy, but never gonna get it. Never gonna get it. Never gonna get my PvP crave, because I don't like Feast, because Feast just reminds me too much of like League, like, honestly. I like, you know, 2v2s, 1v1s kind of shit. That's kind of cool. Or just big scale battlegrounds. Like, Frontlines was cool because it was hectic. But the system of how I did it, it's weird. Because, you know, you had Guild Wars 2 where it was world versus world PvP. You had this massive, massive ground. It was just, you had forts and forts and forts that you can go around and capture NPCs he could kill and capture those like trade routes and stuff. You know, people would used to get on Discord and fucking set stuff up like that. That was amazing. That is what I was talking about, pure PvP. And then WoW was just, I don't know, I just enjoyed WoW PvP too much.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. I remember I played Aeon for a little bit back in the day when that was new. And that they did some cool stuff with their big PvP zone and being able to like capture, you know, forts and stuff. Like that was cool. But then, like, if you get quests that are in like the PvP area, you just keep getting killed, then you can't finish quests, and it just gets frustrating. So there's definitely, I think, a balance between, you know, you don't want to just have like a giant PvP area, but at the same time, like, there are people that want a PvP. So it's a matter of Square experimenting until they figure out how to make PvP good and having people want to play it for, you know, the enjoyment of it versus just, you know, doing it to get a mount or something.
I really want them to keep making PvP gear, because the PvP gear was like something I would grind for, because it was actually pretty cool. Like, if you look at the warrior armor, if you're a giant fucking three-headed bear, you know, like, that shit was sick.
Some of that PvP stuff was really good. Other stuff, I don't know. Some of it was cool.
To be fair, when it comes to PvP, all I ask for is bring back Ballista. I want Ballista. I want to go around and dig for balls and then throw them in a big net for some reason. That's all I want, Square Enix.
I mean, you could just, I don't know, have sex. That's technically the same thing.
No, it's not as cool. You might get, not, won't get a giant potion while having sex.
I mean, you could. It depends on what you're drinking. It could be a giant potion.
But that Ballista was great. That was the only PvP I've ever enjoyed, really.
It's like, I hear Ballista, I just think of the weaponry used.
It was called Ballista, right? Fusion, I think.
Yeah, it was Ballista. There was another one, too, and I cannot remember the name of it. It was similar, though, but I think it was... Because it took place on Pergo Norgo, I think.
Yeah, the one set on the island, and it was private as well, if you wanted to.
Yeah, what the hell was that thing called? I have to like look at the. I'm gonna have to like.
I can't see if remember I can the name of it. I did it a few times. I was actually in a Ballista PvP tournament team at one point. Good times. I used to troll people in PvP because I didn't care about winning. I still don't. So back in the day, Dark Knight's ability would hurt themselves to deal damage. So I would just go monk, use a giant's potion, hurt myself with Soul Eater, and then kill them and kill myself.
Kamikaze.
Good times.
Chili, I really want someone to count how many times you said the story on.
I bet you 100 times.
Yeah, you've probably said it like every podcast. Or
I don't care. I'll say it until we 11. Get Ballista and goddamn. I want Besieged.
It was Brenner.
Oh, yeah.
Brenner was.
It sounds like breakfast and dinner.
Yeah, the Brenner, and then there was also Pancration.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Pancration was Pokemon. That was it. Again, I want that back.
My pancreas.
And apparently they also added another PvP type that used the monster system where you could play as a monster.
Oh my god.
Lords of a Million?
So there you go. No,
but where you play
11.
As the monster.
Yeah, this was Monstrosity, I think. I've never touched it. I have no interest in ever touching it, but it is a thing that they did.
It's like I was Stormblood, you know, the whole fighting guardians and stuff like that, you know, and the fact that we're pushing the original talk of Stormblood, it was like, oh, they're doing like a civil war sort of thing. I was just imagining if they added the besiege system where the guardians attack the city every so often, you have to defend it.
I've been saying for years they could add like besieged or conquest. I mean, you know, with the way that 14 structured, you could even weave it in and use like fates to do it.
Yeah.
They don't even have to have as a real conquest. Like, you know, it was where you were you were showing dominance. It was just like a war play thing that the grand companies are doing.
I mean, and we, you know, we might even get something like that with the Boja content. I mean, because that's essentially what it is us going and, you know, trying to take back these areas. So I'm really curious to see what they do with it and how it's different from Eureka.
I mean, have you guys seen these Swole Tour conquest things where as guilds you can get planets kind of thing?
And, like, I planets and stuff.
I don't know why they don't do that in 14, like have like FCs.
Well, Paul, Fantasy XI had something called Signet, which you got in your main town of Windurst, Bastok, or Sandoria. Then, as you did, say you went to the first zone. The first zone is part of a biggish area, which is like a couple of different zones together. Now, if you did stuff in the, let's say, East Saratobuta and Turunga Canyon and stuff like that, you would then gain rank in that area. And as you do that, if enough people in your town with Signet have it, then you would actually conquer that area for your town for the week.
When you mean by that town, you mean like, say, like Gridania kind of towns?
Yeah.
It was. So you would, well, and there were the content at the outposts as well in each region where you could do, what the hell were those called? One of them, I think, was Eco Warrior?
I think something like that, yeah. I don't know anyone who actually did them, but.
Yeah, every so often people do them. But yeah, I mean, you'd essentially get a status effect on you, and then while you were doing stuff, your overall contributions would contribute to the area. And then at the end of the week, there'd be a tally.
Yeah.
And each city or the beastmen, if none of the cities really did a great job, would control an area. And then that would allow you to teleport to the outpost in that area. But now there's home points all over the place, and you can teleport all over the place. So it's not as big of a deal as it used to be.
You could also buy stuff in your rival towns as well, if I'm rightly.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that with Satan, Swalter. I'm going back to Swalter again. Basically, you could conquer a planet as a guild FC kind of thing. And you'll be fighting against other guilds to obviously do it. So, but say you had a bunch of conquest quests, you know, do PvP, like do like 10k of the PvP, you get points going to it. And whoever has the highest points would get control of that planet. And you could like you could go there for free. You wouldn't have to spend credits. You get some other things. Like I can't remember off the top of my head. But I was thinking, like, why don't they do that in Final Fantasy? Say Summerfields in Final Fantasy 14. Say if you do a bunch of quests, you're fighting against other FCs, and you get control of that point, and you can teleport there for free without using gil.
Because well, I mean, you know, I can remember back in the day when you know 2.0 was just coming out. They had talked about this idea of free company primals
summons, yeah,
yeah, and that never happened. And I think from a lore perspective, I think it would be difficult to pull off because the whole point of the story is that all these cities and are you know coming together, and to then just have like groups inside those cities that are like, yeah, we're gonna fight for territory. That seems a little weird.
Yeah, I mean, I still remember free company summons. It was like Ifrit might appear in West whatever, and then you all gotta fight Ifrit, and then whoever kills him gets the free company summons for the week.
Yeah, and then and you know you call him up, and the weather and the whole zone changes, and there was there was a lot of conceptual thought put into it. I don't know what they tried internally to make it work, or if they did anything beyond thinking about it. But
I still think they should do bigger fates. You know, like the Odin fate. I think they should do more of those because those now that back in the day when I used to play in 2.0, I was like, oh, the Odin fate's up, and people want to go that you just get so many dead bodies, so much.
You get one every expansion, don't you?
We get two in expansion.
That's it.
Yeah. Do so they're still doing them. Yeah, yeah. It's with Heaven's Word. It was
was it the frog one?
There's the frog one, okay. And then there's the I mean, they're both kind of frog related when you think about it. But yeah, there's the one in Collusion, then there's one in the Tempest.
Are they really as cool as Odin?
No, but they're the same idea.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just an evolution of the concept slightly with, I mean, it not really. I mean, the weather, I don't think, changes for it like Odin does. No. But
that's just a shame Odin because the one in Heavensward had the weather change as well.
That's right, yeah, in Upanez's Law, yeah. I think Coral Regina did as well.
Yeah. And I think I thought it's got to be lightning for Ixion. Or am I wrong?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's no, you're right. Ixion in the locks.
Yeah, which I had to pay someone to get me to because it was never spawning it on land because I can't fly.
And then what was the other one in Stormblood?
Was it just Ixion? I don't remember any other ones in Stormblood.
Was it the fate chain with the nine-tailed fox or whatever was that?
Oh yeah.
Well, that's just lore stuff. That's cool little lore stuff.
Though none of them was called Ixion because none of them was called Odin because Odin has your name underneath it.
Yeah, I mean that was cool. I mean I can remember back in 2.0, you know, everybody's jumping at Odin when it came up, and then after a while, nobody cares.
Yeah.
And I had gotten to that stage where someone's like, "Odin's up," and I'm like, "Eh," and then somebody's like, "Odin has your name," and I was like, "I'll be right there." And so people are fighting him and in shout just because I thought it was funny. I just kept shouting like, "Guys, please stop! It hurts! Don't! Why are you hitting me? I don't understand." But yeah, I mean that was neat. But other than that.
If I'm rightly, I could be completely wrong. The lore for it is that Odin is actually the sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really Zantetsuken that's kind of in charge of all that.
Which is cool because it's like a kind of like a headless horseman kind of tribe. Or, yeah, that's what I like. Mm-hmm. They need to bring more spooky stuff in the game. Like I love the Palace of the Dead storyline with what's her face, Ghost white mage girl. That
With Etta.
Yeah, that was so good.
Have you seen her at night yet, Paul? I've not actually seen her yet. Because she can appear randomly in Gridania at night.
Yep, when it's raining.
Yep.
Yeah. And I thought that was cool. You know, I need more spooky stuff in the game, man. I'm a big horror fan. To seeing more stuff like that come
in. It's like
in,
I've never seen the ghost kids in the trial as well.
You've never seen the... Really?
Yeah, the ghost train.
Yeah, you've never seen them? Mm.
There's a random NPC that can sometimes spawn on in that trial.
That's right. I remember hearing it. Yeah, I don't think I'd ever seen that one.
I've seen it once. I think I might have a picture somewhere, actually. Also, it's
Luna says, what? That's new to me. Never heard of that. You mean the Edda? Yeah, she can appear randomly in Gridania when it's raining at midnight in game.
Yep. God, I remember when that was like new content and people like found out and everyone's like, oh my God, like what? That was crazy back in the day when they would just do stuff like that.
They need to do more. Like, honestly, like, I know like a small demographic don't like that shit, but yeah, the small
I'm going to bring the spookiest thing right here. I'm going to bring, right? Do you guys want to know the spookiest thing?
What's the spookiest 5.3 thing?
Brings back Yo-Kai Watch. Woo!
Yeah, I'm no longer affiliated with Moogle Around now.
God, I forgot about that.
At the 100th episode, I'm leaving. Get replacement. Yeah. I don't like Yo-Kai Watch.
There's new weapons as well, isn't there? So it's going to be a fun grind again.
No, I'm not doing it.
I'm going to get my third sperm mount because I've already got two.
If they make the grind for the second mount less ridiculous, I will consider doing it. But it was just, it was terrible.
It's going to be worse now, isn't it? Because you've got Gunbreaker, Dancer, Samurai, and Red Mage to grind for.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, still make it, like, extra effort. But, like, at that point, like, when we had the Yo-Kai Watch event the first time, I had always done all the event stuff, right? And I got to the point with Yo-Kai where I think maybe I spent, like, a couple hours, like, to work on, like, that second mount. And I'm just like, no. Like, this is stupid. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, yeah. So if they can make it less ridiculous, like I would consider getting it, but I don't know for sure, but I would imagine that since then they have reevaluated the criteria for that, hopefully. But
I'm hoping not too much so, because it did feel like a mount that not many people had because nobody could be bothered.
That's true. That's also true. I mean, the same could be said for all the PvP mounts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's also because you can't, because top 100.
So. Well, no, I'm just talking about the achievement mounts where you need to get the wins.
Yeah,
there's some really cool mounts in there, like the little airship and stuff. But at the same time, it's like I don't care enough to do the content.
Not the gorilla. I want the gorilla.
you can get a gorilla from Ishgard from doing the construction stuff. So,
wait, how do you get the scientist chair from PvP? Isn't it just tones?
Feast or not tones? Only.
That was a season reward.
Yeah, you'll never get that again.
Never again.
Yeah, I also want the scientist chair, Luna. I feel bad that was a feast reward. I know they want people to do feasts, but it's definitely a reward that I don't feel like should have been a exclusive.
It's a mixed bag, right? Because they want to incentivize people to do feasts, but it's like there are people that, like, even if like there's a cool mount, it's like, like I'm fine. Like I got a robot frog and like a shark and 50 other mounts. I don't, you know, I'll be okay if I don't have the scientist's little floaty chair.
Luna says, just change the color and I'll pay for the bottom mock station. You know what? I wouldn't pay for it, I think. I bought enough mounts as it is.
Yeah, for everyone else. Not yourself. Just give them away. He doesn't actually use them because he has no use for them. Do you know why? Because he can't fly.
Yeah, I can't fly. And I'll never be able to fly unless Square Enix forces me to.
You can fly, you just need to believe in yourself.
And that's why I can't fly.
Wow, this got depressing.
It did. Celebrations, I guess. Woo! But yeah, 5.3 will be next month. I'm guessing late July at this rate. But hopefully...
Yeah, late July, worst case scenario, early August.
I'm really hoping to August.
Yeah, I think we'll probably hear a live letter announcement probably by the end of this month or like the first week in July.
If there's anything like last week, we'll hear it after we record this tomorrow morning.
I mean, that's also very likely. Yeah, they're like, all right, so we'll see when are the podcasts are going. Okay, we'll release this the day after.
Yeah.
I mean, it never fails. That's how this stuff always goes.
They time it so well every time.
That's why I do my show on a weekend, because they don't post stuff on Saturdays.
Yeah, see, I'm busy on the weekend only because
they might have a live letter that ends early Saturday morning, but they don't put news out on Saturday morning.
Smart, though. They're off. So, man, I don't know what to talk about now.
Well, I mean, we could just like diverge on the topic. It's like, yeah, EA Play Live soon. Yeah, see that tomorrow. Can't wait. I'm gonna get my hopes up. Also, fuck Anthem.
You looking forward to EA tomorrow? Are you looking forward to PS5 at all? I know I'm looking forward to it for Fantasy 14 mainly, because I'll probably get it on that as well, because I'm a sucker.
Well, I mean, we also know 14 is going to drop on Xbox too, so.
Yeah. But, which I'm guessing is it next expansion, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, that would make sense. I mean, it also depends on, you know, again, like what their development cycle is. I've heard that, you know, maybe they've been already working on the Xbox version for a while, potentially. So who knows?
Well, my theory is it was going to be a FanFest announcement. It would have probably dropped. They would have announced it as a pre-order for the next expansion, but maybe it would drop in, say, January, February on like a beta server, kind of like how the Xbox 360 had its own server for a little bit. And then when people get to play like a Realm Reborn up to Shadowbringers, and then they'll be put on the live servers after that. For just before the expansion goes live.
Yeah, I mean, it makes the most sense, I think, from a retail point of view, to launch it with the expansion. So, that wouldn't surprise me if that's what they timed it for.
Because it's getting too late now to sell it separately, because people then complain that they just bought it at full price and then only a few months, well, a year later, really. But yeah,
You know, keep in mind though too. I mean, when they stopped support for PS3, they gave people free migration to PS4. So and with Xbox is doing what are they calling it?
Smart delivery.
Thank you. I wouldn't be surprised if 14 would be a part of that. If they do also release, you know, before Series X, but I would, you know, I would argue too, released
until Series X.
Yeah, well, I would also argue too that it's probably going to also release on Xbox One as well. I mean, there's no reason it can't if they're on a PS4. So,
well, Microsoft has announced that none of their first party games till I think it's 2022 will be Series X exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
All their games are cross gen until then.
That's right. That makes me feel a little bit better about Halo.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I'm just going to play Halo on my PC.
Well, there's that too. I mean, I'll definitely be picking up a PlayStation 5 on day one, even though it looks design-wise just ridiculous. But
really, I like the design, but then I'm weird. I like weird designs.
It looks weird, and I'm genuinely worried about where I'm going to put it.
I'm gonna have to get rid of my PS4 and PS3 and just have it down there.
I mean, it depends on how, you know. I've seen people making kind of like mock-ups of like how big it is,
It's pretty TVs, tall from what I've heard.
TV stands have only so much room. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely no vertical shelving and a lot of, you know, things that people have already. But you can lay it down. But also, like, I heard it's really big and it's got that weird curvy lip thing. And
well, it's got a stand for horizontal, doesn't it?
Well, so. It does. But, you know, it's still going to, that, you know, extra, that little wave on top. Like, that might be, you know, an inch of space that might have let you put it in the shelf, you know, like it's hard to say, and I would imagine they would consider that when making the design. But
I mean, it looks sick at the fit of my shelf, but not up, not vertical though. No, definitely not vertical, but sideways, horizontal it would. I am excited for the PS5 though, and I'm looking to see what the price is going to be to see if I'm going to pick it up day one for Fantasy 14.
Yeah, I still need to get a new TV, because I don't even have a 4K TV yet. So.
Oh, no, I have a 1080p, which is fine, to be honest.
That's step one. I mean, if you're gonna get, you know, the 4K capable console, it feels like a waste to not have a 4K set.
Downsampling is a godsend. Run it at 4K, downsample it to 1080p.
Well, you see, I've got all these 4K Blu-rays and all these steelbooks I keep buying, and it would be really nice to be able to watch them.
Yeah, I don't have any of those, and I'm thinking about getting the digital PS5 anyway. So
Oh, see, I couldn't do that. I want the 4K player.
Looks at my lovely TV. My TV.
With as big as some of those game installs are getting too, like doing digital only, like granted, you know, you're probably still going to have that same capacity issue with the disc version, but
yeah. Well, you got to remember, I'm going to say that the disc size, the download size and disc size could get smaller next gen. A little bit smaller, but not that much.
But then you look at COD right now, what is it, like a 200 gig game now?
Yeah, that's cool.
Like they just recently had a 40 gig upgrade for season 4. Like,
I mean, yeah, Yeah, just the other week, Destiny said that they're going to start vaulting content because, like, the game is, like, file size-wise, it's just getting too big. Like,
but the thing is, right now, because of the way hard drives work, you need duplicated data to make sure that the game loads fast enough to make it, you know, how it is. With the current next-gen SSD standard, the chances are the amount of duplicated data is going to be... Well, you won't need it, really. So... I can see the size.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, yeah.
So, not by much. I'm not saying it's going to be like, oh, this game is 80 gig and now it's 40, but it might be like, oh, it was 80 gig and now it's 60. Because it doesn't have to have duplicated audio files. It doesn't have to duplicate graphic assets. It's just going to be a little smaller because of it.
Yeah, it's all about optimization.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll probably get a PS5 because they've also... I can't remember where I read this. It might have been Gamerscape. I don't know. Go check out Gamerscape. But I know that Fantasy 14, though it's launching on the PS5 day one because of backwards compatibility, won't have any PS5 actual features until later on.
I had not heard that, so it wasn't from us.
Okay, well, I've heard, I don't remember where from, that, yeah, that it might run a little smoother than, yeah, the PS4 version because of the frame rate and the CPU.
As far as I know, they've talked about backwards compatibility, but I don't think they've actually confirmed it yet.
PS5 is confirmed to be PS4 backwards compatible, so...
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. There was talks about, only 100 games support it, but what they meant by that was the PS5 has a boost mode, like in the Pro.
I see.
And 100 games have been tested for it to work on that, but the actual standard games...
So it's like
games...
what Xbox 360 did then with
the
original Xbox games. Okay.
Yeah. It'll run the games, but there'll be some games that look better. Probably because they've already got, like, dynamic, you know, resolution or, unlock frame rate. Mm-hmm. So the boost mode might, like, have issues. Because, again, I can't confirm this but I heard a rumor that the PS4 actually has, like, two or three... PS5 has two different modes. Basically, when you're playing a PS4 game and it doesn't support... This is the reason why the PS5 has variable frequencies, because if it's, say, playing a PS4 game that doesn't support boost mode in the PS5, it basically underclocks itself to run at the same sort of speed as the PS4 did to try and help with any emulation compatibility issues.
That makes sense.
So, because it's basically the same hardware, it's just, better hardware. Yeah. Mm. Don't get confused by me saying same hardware as in it's exactly the same. Because some people think that. Fantasy 14 on PS5, I'll probably get that straight away. Even I have it on my PC. I have it on PS4, and I used to have it on PS3. Hell, if the rumors of a Switch version were true, I'd get that too, because why not?
God, never happening.
Yeah, that's never happening. But if we can get the hopes up, like I get my hopes up about Dragon Age 4.
You know, it could happen. I don't think it will, but it could. But no, really, I really think it's possible, but I don't think it would work. Normally, sorry, confused.
The amount of optimization they would have to do on stuff is I don't think worth it at this point. I mean, there was Outer Worlds just came out on Switch, and it looks like ass.
That's the thing. I don't think it'll run on the Switch. I think it'll work like Resident Evil did, where you're cloud gaming Fantasy 14 on Switch.
Oh yeah, okay. So yeah, maybe, but I don't know if you're gonna get a lot of people want to do that. And a lot of times when they've done that kind of stuff too, that's only in Japan.
Oh yeah, I remember Resident Evil being a rental.
yeah, like they did that with Resident Evil. They I want to say they did that with Final Fantasy 13 for Molt. I mean, Square had a whole company devoted to streaming at one point.
Wasn't Phantasy Star Online like it at one point? Or am I thinking of something else?
You might be thinking of something else.
Oh, by the way, we're talking about Square Enix titles because we're a Final Fantasy podcast and Square Enix. Yeah. What do you think of that new Kingdom Hearts game that got shown off? Melody of something or something.
Yeah, memory of Melody?
I think that was it.
Melody of Memory? Melody of Memory. I had to redo our post because I mixed it up. It is Melody of Memory. I'm not surprised by it. I mean, you know, it's really funny. As somebody that's, I mean, I was in on Kingdom Hearts like day one, years and years and years ago when it first came out. And since then, they've done all sorts of weird spin-off things that have weaved into the main narrative, and it's been canon and whatever. That's just what Kingdom Hearts is. And lots of people are losing their shit over this, and it's just, it's really funny to me. Like,
now, I can tell you that there is 7 different Kingdom Hearts games on the way, and they're making 4 of them right now. So, please enjoy your Kingdom Hearts, everyone. There's 4 games made.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, with the way that they, you know, left 3 hanging, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. But it doesn't bother me much, the rhythm thing. I think for me, and this is what hurts the most, is when they showed the trailer, the beginning of it shows the characters in like the theater rhythm art style. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, like theater rhythm, like Kingdom Hearts. Like, I'd be down for that. I love the theater rhythm games. And then they jump into the actual gameplay, and it's the same remastered PS2 graphics that we've just been fed for years and years and years. And
thanks, it's Switch. Just,
yeah, I mean, there's that, but it's just, it's, I don't know. I they should have just kept the theater rhythm style, I think. And, you know, I applaud them for trying something a little bit different. But, there was nothing wrong with theater rhythm. So why try to shake up the formula when there's nothing wrong with it?
I was more impressed with the graphics of the mobile game than when they showed this off. And the mobile game looked really simple. it looks stylized.
That's the same graphics that they've been using on Union Cross for, gosh, 5-6 years, something like that now. So
we're probably going to wrap this episode up soon. Fusion, have you got anything to say before we end? Also, thank you so much for being on, by the way.
I still
can't believe that we've had you and Mr. Happy and Ms. Stoso on recently. It's crazy.
Yeah, we've legitimized you guys now. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad.
You're a real podcast now.
Yeah, we're real. I'm a real boy.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really to say. A3 Radio's Saturday, twitch.tv/GamerEscape. Sometimes we don't do an episode if there's not a lot to talk about other than that.
No, we do. We bullshit.
Yeah. Well, be fair, they're a little bit more legitimate than us.
We do try to have an amount of structure. Not to say that your method doesn't work. I mean, you know, my Final Fantasy XI show is 14 years old this month, and we very much did
Alpha Biscuit,
weeks where we would just shoot the shit. So
it was Pet Alpha Biscuit, or was it
Pet Food Alpha?
Pet Food Alpha. I was close.
You had the words, yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. I used to listen to it actually. Back in the day. Yeah,
it's crazy. 14 years this month, and then 8th Rate Radio will be 11 in August.
Oh, well.
Which is always fun.
Back on Killing Ifrit, seeing it post there occasionally.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, people are like, what, 11 years? That's crazy. Didn't the game just, like, have its 6th anniversary? Yes, it did. We are older than 14, which is wild. But
yeah, because you started just before the 1.0 stuff, right? So yeah, 1.0.
We started. 1.0. I want to say a couple months within the announcement at E3. So yeah. we were right on top of that stuff when it was announced. So
with that cool ass trailer that ended up basically being the Crystarium.
No. That was just a tech demo for Xbox. That was the actual 14 1.0 trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing was just like a demo, like a tech demo from years ago.
God, I remember that tech demo though. That's how old I am.
I mean, I also remember that tech demo. So you're not the only old person here.
Yay! Do you still have your? Do you have the lightning glove still from 13 and 14?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got the gloves. I got the Hermes shoes.
See, I lost the most onion of it. Helm. The Garland goggles. I get those are on my mum's account Rest in peace.
I didn't have the Garland goggles, and then what else was there? We never did get the Mog earrings from the 25th anniversary collector's set that released in Japan. They never brought those over to NA in any capacity.
Talk about big scams. We still haven't got the fat chocobo here. I've got to bring that up.
You guys haven't gotten that in EU yet?
No. You know, the black one.
Then you probably didn't get like the cloud either, right?
No, we got that. It's the second one we didn't get. We got the first one, okay. Which was with that was the white one, if I'm rightly, where we had to take pictures of, this was the stupid part, right? You got a code card in three different magazines.
That's right, the magazine thing. Oh my God.
And then shop two was the cloud. And then we never got the third promotion here.
Jeez.
Which sucks because I want that chocobo still. I still want it.
I think the cloud is the cooler one out of all those, but
I prefer the cloud sold on the Mog Station, to be honest. Because it looks more like Dragon Ball.
It's totally Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't put them up there yet. They should do that.
Yeah. It'd be the first time we can actually get it.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. If I think of it, you know, when we do our E3 interview with Yoshi. Oh, right. We might have to wait a little longer.
Yeah, a little longer. Anyway, he's going to be busy with his secret projects anyway, because he's not directing Final Fantasy 16, but I still feel like he probably is doing more than he says he is doing.
Well, keep in mind, I mean, he is on the, what do they call, like the Final Fantasy, like, committee?
Business division sort of thing.
Well, no. So there's business divisions within Square Enix, but there's also, like, a group of directors that, in general, help oversee the direction of the series. And Yoshida's on that. He's also, you know, he's head of the business division that he's in charge of. The only thing we don't know is if that other game that's being worked on, if that is 16 or if that's just something else. Project Athea is from Luminous. So that's a whole separate division. That's essentially the Final Fantasy 15 team that's working on that.
It looks good.
So
it does really look good.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more. I mean, I saw that Gary Whitta helped do some of the writing for it, so that makes me kind of raise an eyebrow. But yeah, I mean, we didn't get to see a lot. It was just like hey, we're working on something.
It kind of showed off the graphics and like the kind of magic they're using. It's like very nature-y magic, and then seeing that dragon, I was like, what?
If it doesn't have the same kind of engine constraints that I feel like 15 did. I think it'll be great because 15 looked really good in some aspects, but it could also run really sluggish. So if they can figure that out, I think it could be a solid title.
It'll be probably next gen only by the time it comes out, which will be good as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm curious if they're still at this point, if they're still pushing, their Luminous engine, or if they're just going to say hell with it and move to Unreal. Cause they did 7 remake in Unreal, and it's, that, you know, if they got it down. I mean, I can't remember when Square made their first game with Unreal, and it was not good. It ran like garbage on 360. So hopefully,
Lloyd says, please don't, God don't let OCP direct 16 or fucking look. Out of all the people at Square Enix, who would you want it to direct it, Lloyd? I would trust Yoshi P over most people at Square Enix right now.
Well, at this point, Nomura's busy with all the Kingdom Hearts stuff and with...
Yeah, he's got 7 whole Kingdom Hearts games to make, so...
And with 7 Remake, right, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah, Nomura storytelling is weird. I mean, and that's why the Eden Raid series turned into just a story of bad decisions in 14.
Basically Final Fantasy 8, but slightly different.
Well... Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just the last bit of Eden. Just it was me screaming at my monitor. Why would you do this? This is a terrible idea. And now the adults are gonna leave the kids in charge. And it's just nothing good can come of this.
We're so getting an Ultimisia style character in the next part.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. But some of the things they did along the way. Yeah, some of the things they did along the way were questionable at best. So. Yeah.
anyway, before we go, have you got any shout outs and anything you want people to contact, or you know, have you got any projects on the way?
Hey, products. You made him sound like a drug dealer.
Projects.
Hey, yeah. Hey, good product coming this way.
We're working on a new strand. Gamerscape.com. We are slowly but surely expanding our news team. We've been doing a lot of stuff. I mean, right now with the lack of E3, there's a lot of stuff kind of filling the void for that. So we are doing our best to be on top of that. We got our Final Fantasy VII Remake Wiki, our Avengers Wiki. It is up. Obviously we're gonna have to wait a little bit longer for that to come out, but you know, if that's something you're interested in, keep an eye out on that. Otherwise, I do a podcast, Day Threat Radio, Final Fantasy 14 based, Saturdays over at twitch.tv/gamerescape, and you can always hit me up on Twitter at Roffeldrg, R-O-F-L-D-R-G.
Paul, do you want to... Okay, episode 100 is next week. We're going to have a big-ish episode. Well, I say big-ish. It's going to be a massive episode. I don't know why I'm trying to sell it short. We've got two parts actually going to be recorded. Part one will be basically the British part with us, with Mioni, Taru TV, Fantasy 14 Noob. And then the later show will be the American side with She Heals, I Tank, and Maelstrom Radio.
Look how we split it out like so well. Here is the British side, and here is the Americans.
You know, I was trying to do it for time zones, okay, to be fair to both sides.
We have Soviet Russia, Korea, and Japan.
But we've had a t-shirt design done by Lunar Dragon. We're going to have it shown up on stream soon. This will be on sale during the episode for episode. Thank you so much, Lunar Dragon, for the design. It looks incredible. This will be sold... we haven't decided on the price exactly yet, but trust me, it's going to be as cheap as we can do. So we're literally going to be putting it as cheap as possible. So thank you, Luna, for the design. We had to go with Loomchan, didn't we, really? It's Loomchan. Our best little thing. So please come check us out for episode 100. Again, go follow Fusion at Ruffle Dragon on Twitter. Go follow She Heals I Tank. Go follow KK McLeod. Go follow Luna, because she streams her art sometimes. Just go follow everyone that's in chat, because everyone's a better content creator than us, especially Fusion.
I mean, it's I'm just old. I've just been doing this forever.
Hey, I've been doing this all the time too. Paul, you got any shout outs?
Mm-hmm. Shout out to everyone in chat. Shout out to people that, you know, just shout out to Chili, because without Chili doing all this prep, he's been prepping. Do you know what I've been doing? I've been sitting here playing Mass Effect Andromeda and Dead by Daylight and not caring about the world. I still got to do stuff for episode 100 that I don't even know of yet. And Chili has taken it upon himself to do all this. He got Fusion to come on the show. He got Mr. Happy to come. He got Miss... I ain't done shit. That this man deserves all the credit.
Fusion, do you want to be on the show?
Sure.
My God, that was hard. But no, thank you, Paul. I couldn't do this without you, so thank you.
I may be just a voice, and I occasionally play games on stream.
And that's what podcasting's all about. So until next time, which will be 2 weeks, have a wonderful day, everyone. Oh, yeah, go follow Paul. What's your Twitter name, Paul?
Huh? What? Twitter? At PaulMetal1. I mainly just tweet out Dragon Age stuff, because Dragon Age is live. Dragon Age is live.
We'll be live tomorrow with EA Plays, probably, which will be in the past by the time this goes live.
Yeah, so... That is literally tomorrow, or today, technically, because it's at midnight, because time zones suck.
Those damn Americans.
Goodbye, everyone. But not goddamn Americans, because we haven't
done your shout-outs yet. What are you doing?
I already did.
No, you didn't. Lies.
Twitch.tv, Phoenix Down Radio. Also go check out Twitch.tv, see Moogle Gamer Radio. Also check out Twitch.tv, KK McCloud. There we go. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Kazoon tight.
He does need MGR_Chili on Twitter. That's where you can find him.
Yeah.
You went too fast. We've done like half an hour left.
Okay, no. We have to stop soon because it's getting late. But guys, this is going to be added to the end of the podcast. So this is like an extra bit. Fusion, there's a question we've asked every guest that we've had on recently. Are you ready for this question? Is this the most important question you're going to answer?
I am ready.
Okay, ready. Now, if you come to London Fan Fest, which is, you know, if it happens... If you get to London, because I don't know if you've ever been to England or not, but...
I have not, but I at some point would love to go to London, yeah.
Okay, so if you come to London Fan Fest in the future, we've got a few people who agreed to this. Would you come to Nando's with me and Paul? to celebrate.
You're gonna have to describe this a little bit for me. I've heard you talk about it a lot, but I don't actually know what it is.
Basically, it's a restaurant that serves chickens. It's like it's supposed to be a fast food, but it's actually like oven. You know, all of it's like rotational chicken, and you can buy like whole chickens, chicken wings, and so forth. And there's like other dishes as well, but the main focus is chickens. So
I mean, I'm down for that. That sounds good. Sweet. I like a good wing.
Nice. Well, I would just buy the whole chicken if I were you.
Whatever, that works too.
Yeah. And there's I love their spicy ones. They do a really good spicy, because you can basically when you order,
I can't do spice very well.
So when you order the meal, they've got like five different they've got like five scales of spice, and then you got lemon and herb or garlic.
Ooh, oh god!
So
oh, that sounds fantastic.
Oh,
it's really good as well. It's fast food technically because they don't take too long to serve you, but at the same time, it's not. Oil. There's no oils involved, really. So
it's just what the hell? Sure.
Like roasted. Only the oils you bring to slabber your throat with the chickenness. Nando's.
Okay, so that means we've got Mr. Happy to agree to go to Nando's. We've got Miss Dose to agree to go to Nando's. Mouse and Rainy, of course, will agree. Probably we don't even have to ask them because they've been to one in America. Because there are some in America, by the way. Fusion.
Are there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think there's like three or four states that do actually have them. If I'm right, Chicago has one.
You see, that doesn't do me any good now that I don't live in Chicago.
I don't know all the states that have them, but I know a couple states do. Flatus and Susan have had one from America as well. We're going to basically book out Nando's at this rate. So this was an extra bit that we're going to add to the end of the podcast. Another person guaranteed for Nando's. I'm so happy. Yeah.
Also, to add on to that ad, 28th of this month will be on Maelstrom Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know. But we'll be promoting episode 100 on there. They are a general gaming podcast. They used to be a Final Fantasy 14 podcast, but then switched over to general gaming. And hopefully they're going to be talking about the EA Play Live, because that's, if there's any Dragon Age news, I'm going to be down with the bacon.
It's not an episode this week, so, but it'll probably be up when we're on, so. So anyway, we're going to close this up now, this extra part. I'm so happy that we got Fusion to agree to go Nando's.
We did.